This is Digital Story Podcast number 830, February 15th, 2022. Today's theme is how the new OM system OM1 mirrorless camera stacks up. I'm Derek Story. As I predicted, OM System has released a new flagship system camera titled the OM1. The mirrorless will succeed the popular EM1 Mark III and include a raft of improvements. Plus, it starts shipping in early March. So let's dig in to see how the latest Micro Four Thirds release stacks up to its predecessor. I hope you enjoy the show. So this is going to be fun, and what I'm going to do today, I was thinking about, okay, how do we talk about this new camera, right? It's beautiful. I've got the inside presentation on it. It was really enjoyable to just watch and see all the things that they did, the things that they're really proud of. And I was going, okay, all right, well, I could just describe a bunch of specs, but that isn't, I mean, that's fun. Don't get me wrong, that is fun. But I thought, well, it would be even more fun if we compared it to the EM1 Mark III and the EMX too, right? You know, these are the two kind of heavyweights that we've had up until this point. And I thought, okay, so that's what we'll do. That way we can really understand it, because that way I don't have to go over every detail, because most of us are familiar with the EM1 Mark III and the EM1X. So they go, all right, so we'll go this route. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Now, the first thing that I want to mention about this camera, and this is kind of one of those interesting fun facts, right, that I got from the presentation. When you look at the nameplate of this new camera, the OM1, it says Olympus. It says Olympus. This will be the last time that happens. This will be the last time that you get Olympus up there. After that, it's going to be OM System. Now, the way that they designed this new camera, you have Olympus up there where the nameplate goes. Then you have the OM1 off to the side, which is the model number. And then down near the bottom of the camera on the front, you have OM System, which is technically, that's the company now. But they're going to do it one last time. They're going to give us one last Olympus. I'm kind of jazzed about that. Now, those of you who were film photographers, and especially if you were Olympus film photographers, then OM1 is going to sound super familiar to you, because, you know, that one model is what started it all out. That's when they designed the SLR that really was super innovative and did very well. So this camera, you know, it, not only is it a throwback to the film days in terms of paying homage to that, but it's also honoring the Olympus digital age as well. So it's all kind of right here. So if ever there was a transition camera, this is it. This is it right here, the OM1. I think we're allowed, since they put it on the nameplate, I think we're allowed to say the Olympus OM1 right now. For this camera, we don't have to say OM System, even though technically that's correct. And we'll start saying OM System next camera. We don't have Olympus on it already. So that part is kind of fun. So I thought you'd like that little bit of background information there. Now, let's talk about the camera itself. It looks a lot like the EM1 Mark III, has a very similar form factor. It's just slightly bigger, just by millimeters in a couple different directions. But other than that, it has that same kind of very nice hand grip, same look, same very handsome camera. Much more in terms of how it handles, how you pack it, all that stuff, like the EM1 Mark III. Okay. It doesn't have that big bottom grip like the EM1X. However, it does have a new accessory grip that can go on the bottom. So you can create an EM1X sort of situation if you want it. Now let's get into the actual functionality of this camera and the things that separate it. I'm gonna kind of take us back here for a moment to a bus ride that I had in Costa Rica with a bunch of other photography journalists. when we were first introduced to the EM1 Mark III. I think it was the EM1 Mark III. And we're going, you know, we're talking about it, you know, we're out shooting with it, and then we, you know, we kind of talk about it on the bus ride back. And there were a couple complaints, especially when they were comparing it to the Sony cameras, and one of them was the viewfinder. And that they thought that the viewfinder, even though it had a good refresh rate, that the resolution was kind of low on it. And that viewfinder in the EM1 Mark III was 2.36 million dots. Well, here's the first change that happens with the OM1. It is 5.76 million dots, and it's an OLED model, not just an LED model. So right away, the viewfinder, and you know, looking at through the viewfinder, is going to be a far more luxurious experience, more like looking through the viewfinder of a Sony mirrorless camera. They've also made this thing even more weatherproof. Okay, they're weatherproof already, and you know, the EM1 was splash-proof, dust-proof, and freeze-proof, and it had a rating of a IPX1 rating. This one is splash-proof, dust-proof, and freeze-proof. Not easy for me to say. IP53 rating. Again, this is a rugged camera. And one of the things that they were really emphasizing, because travel photography and wildlife photography are the strong suits for Olympus right now, and that this is a reliable, rugged camera that you can take anywhere. So not only can you take it anywhere because of its smaller size compared to, you know, many other mirrorless cameras, Nikon, Canon, and so forth, you can also take it anywhere because it can survive anywhere. It can survive anywhere. This is a rugged, rugged camera. And then you put one of their all-weather lenses on there and you're really in a great situation. So this is another area where they have improved it over both the EM1 and the EM1X. Alrighty. So they have a new battery. This is a change for them because they had been using the BLH1 for a long time, which is a good battery. In the EM1 Mark III, it was rated up to 840 images. The new battery, the BLX1, is rated up to 1,040 images. It looks like about the same size, but it's just a new design. And so you get a couple hundred extra images out of the new battery. It has in-camera charging, but one of the nice thing is that while it's charging, in other words, it has a USB-C cord, so while it's charging, you can also use the camera. So this is really nice. So not only can you recharge the camera if you want, if you don't want to take the battery out and use a separate battery charger, you can just plug a USB cord into it. But while it's charging, you can also use it. And so that is super nice. And of course, when you start thinking about, you know, tethered shooting, movie making, stuff like that, this becomes a very nice feature. The shutter is 400,000 actuations, rated to 400,000 actuation. Now that is the same as the EM1 Mark III and the same as the EM1X, but you know, that's a lot of pictures. That's a lot of pictures. Okay, let's get into the AF fields. This is another area where they have made improvements. Before, on the EM1 Mark III, they had cross-type, they had 121 cross-types that covered 70% of the viewfinder. Okay, now they have cross-type that covers 100% of the viewfinder, and they have 1,053 cross-types as compared to 121 before, covering the whole sensor area. They've also made, as we suspected they would, improvements in computational photography. So the EM1 Mark III really didn't have much of this built into it in terms of autofocusing. It had it in other areas, you know, like live ND, things like that. But the EM1X started playing with it in autofocusing, where it could, where the camera could identify birds, trains, and cars. Now the camera can identify birds, trains, cars, motorbikes, dogs, and cats. And the algorithm is also much more sophisticated. So I saw a video of how this thing was tracking a dog, you know, running, you know, one of those dog courses, which is really great. And then, oh, he was also catching a Frisbee. And you were just looking through the viewfinder, the camera, as it was following this dog. And then you would see the shots afterwards. And this dog is jumping, moving, flying all over the place. And all the shots just look fantastic. So this autofocus that uses computational photography, they've not only improved its performance, but they've also made it so it identifies more objects. Birds, trains, cars, motorbikes, dogs, and cats now. Fun stuff. And when you see it work, it's really cool. So, I mean, dog owners are going to be pleased with this. I mean, cat owners, I don't know how often you're going to get to use it. But dog owners, this could be very nice. The AF sensitivity has been improved, and also, by the way, the dynamic range. So now it's down to -8 EV. It was -6 before in the other two cameras. The high-speed sequential shooting has been improved dramatically, about 3 times faster now. And then here's something that I just love that a lot of people also complain about with the EM1 Mark III, is that both of the SD card slots, there are two of them, and they both are UHS 2 compatible. So you have two high-speed SD card slots. What they did on the EM1 Mark III is that one was high-speed and the other wasn't. But now both of them are high-speed. Basically, if you put in good cards, good fast cards, it will be able to keep up with this camera that has this very high performance, you know, where you're just shooting very quickly, sequentially, and then it's just writing to the card. Now, a lot of people were wondering in our press meetings about the sensor itself. So there are two things people are concerned about with Micro Four Thirds sensors or Four Thirds sensors. One is, you know, the low light performance, and the other is the resolution. What they attacked on this camera is the low light performance, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. So the new sensor is a 4/3 stacked BSI live MOS sensor. So they've gone to the stacked sensor for this. So the resolution isn't more, but its dynamic range has increased by, I think, a full stop. And then also, when we're talking about this improved AF performance, that's also coming into play there. Plus, it has a new image processor. So now it has the TruePic 10 processor. The EM1 Mark III had a 9, and the EM1X had an 8. So we've got a brand new processor with a stacked CMOS sensor. So there is some heavy artillery there. On the Live ND, which is one of the most favorite features of the other two cameras, this has allowed us now to go all the way up to ND64. That means you can hold the camera and shoot ND64 handheld. So it has 6 levels, ND2, ND4, ND8, 16, 32, and 64. So nice. Live composite has been improved up to 6 hours. Image stabilization remains outstanding. Body only, 7 stops. And if you have an Olympus lens that has stabilization built into it, when they sync, you can go up to 8 stops. 8 stops of stabilization. It's just absolutely crazy. So let's get the pricing and release date. So it will be out in early March, which is not far away at all. Thank goodness we don't have to wait too long. The body itself will be $2,199. Now, they've also improved the Pro 12-40mm f2.8 lens. They now call it the Pro 2. And they're also offering a kit. They're bundling the brand new 12-40. And the kit would be $2,799. And that's for the new OM1 body and for the new lens as well. They also have accessories for it. The power battery holder, it'll be the HLD 10. and they have a wireless remote control for this camera. They're also offering a deal here, or a little, you know, a little incentive, and they call it the 3-battery plus 3-year extended warranty with the purchase of the OM1. And here's what they say about this. To celebrate the introduction of our newest flagship camera, we're happy to provide you additional peace of mind through our special extended warranty offer. Simply complete your product registration and we'll give you complimentary 3-year extended warranty, and that's on top of the 1-year warranty. All right. So if you pre-order the camera, either the camera by itself or the bundle with the new 12 to 40 lens, you'll receive an additional BLX1 battery with the camera. So that'll be free with the camera. And they will also extend the warranty for another 3 years, which would give you 4 years of total warranty. Offer is valid from February 15th, 2022 to March 3rd, 2022. For pre-orders in the U.S., you can order it directly from Olympus or from any authorized Olympus dealer. So that's pretty nice. So if you know you're going to get it anyway, why not get the extra battery? And why not get what turns out to be a total of 4 years of warranty on this camera? I think they feel pretty confident about the build of this camera. They probably won't be a lot of warranty issues, but it's nice to have, right? It's nice to have that warranty just in case something does go wacky in the electronics. You can get it repaired and they'll take care of it for you. So that's our first look at the Olympus OM System OM1 flagship digital camera. It's a beautiful camera. I'll have pictures of it in the show notes. I'll have all the different angles and everything so you can take a look at it there. I'll have a link if you want to take advantage of that pre-order offer. I'll have a link there in the show notes as well. And then once I actually get my hands on the camera and start shooting with it, I'm going to do the pre-order myself. I've been waiting for their new flagship camera. My last flagship camera was the EM1 Mark II. I got to test the Mark III, but I didn't purchase it because I loved my Mark II so much. But I've sold my Mark II and I've been waiting for this. So I'm going to go ahead and get this, the OM1. And once I have a chance to spend some time with it, I'll do a follow-up on this podcast. Very exciting news. I'm really looking forward to spending some time with this camera. Looking forward to reading the reviews about it as well. And I hope you enjoyed this first look at it. Here's some tough news. Western Digital to lose out on 6.5 exabytes of flash storage following production line contamination. You can read this entire article in DP Review. I have a link to it in the show notes. Western Digital has announced that two of its manufacturing facilities in Japan were contaminated, which has affected production and will result in a shortage of at least 6.5 exabytes of flash storage availability, according to Reuters. For context, 1 exabyte is the equivalent to 1 billion gigabytes. I'm going to say that again. 1 exabyte is the equivalent to 1 billion gigabytes. Oh my gosh. Western Digital doesn't specify what products will be affected by this shortage, but its flash storage options, including hardware under the SanDisk Professional, SanDisk, and WD brands, will definitely be affected. Western Digital didn't specify how the contamination of its facilities happened, but says it will be working to get the facilities up and running as quickly as possible. And as if we don't have enough chip shortages right now as it is, just add this one to the heap. This is tough news because you know there's going to be a ripple effect on the flash storage side of things as well. Really sorry to hear this. I hope they get this worked out quickly. 6.5 billion gigabytes of flash storage contaminated and not usable. Here's kind of a fun piece. I don't take these things too seriously, but I do enjoy them and I'm going to share this one with you. These are the 10 most complained about cameras amongst Twitter users. And this is a piece from Digital Camera World, and I have a link to it in the show notes, and you can read the entire article. Would you believe that the GoPro Hero 8 Black is the most complained about camera on Twitter? That's according to Electronics Hub, which carried out its own research into negative tweets across the brand spectrum of electronic devices. Poor GoPro. And you know what? They have a couple entries in this bottom 10 list. So here's the full top 10 with the percentage of negative tweets about these cameras. All right, here we go. You ready? At the top of the list, the GoPro Hero 8 Black, 8.6%. GoPro Hero 9 Black, 6.4%. The Ricoh GR3, 5.7%. That one surprises me a little bit. The Polaroid Now, 5.5%. The Nikon Z7 II, 5.1%. The Sony A6600, 5%. The Sony A7R Mark IV, 5%. The Canon EOS 90D, 3.8%. GoPro Hero 10 Black, 3.8%. And rounding out the bottom 10 here, Sony A7 Mark IV, 3.7%. As I said at the top of the story, I don't read a ton into these stories, but I do think they're kind of fun. And, you know, there's got to be a little something to it. But again, if you have any of these cameras, I definitely wouldn't worry about it. And I would buy, by the way, at, you know, even though it's number three on the list, I would buy a Ricoh GR3, no problem, especially if I didn't have my Fujifilm X100V. So at any rate, just kind of a little interesting bit of data collection there that I thought you might enjoy. I was just looking at our signups for the Humboldt Redwoods workshop coming up in April, and we have one seat left. So one seat left if you want to come and hang out in the Redwoods with us. That starts in early April, and you can learn all about it by going to thenimblephotographer.com. Also, coming up in May, we have the online infrared photography workshop. That's an online event. In August, we're doing the ultimate black and white photography workshop. September, we are going to the Eastern Sierra. Ooh, that one's going to be nice. And then in November, we are returning to the Oregon coast. So you can learn about all of those events by going to thenimblephotographer.com or just click on the link in the show notes. Hope to see you at one of these events, and I'm really looking forward to getting out into the Redwoods with some of our virtual camera club members. I have a fun little tip for you that I just sort of stumbled across. I've been doing a lot of organizing, cleaning things out, putting more pictures up, things like that. And this tip here is very fun, and I can't believe I didn't think of it before. But one of the things that I have stumbled across are some of my favorite notes from my mom, cards, things like that from family members. And I never really know quite what to do. I mean, you know, you get a favorite card, Christmas card, let's say, or you know, a special occasion card, birthday card from a family member or someone that you really care about, and you want to hang on to it because they write such a nice note in there and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, where do you keep it? What do you do with it? You know, you want to hang on to it, but you don't know what to do with it. So what I noticed is that most of these cards are 5x7 or smaller. And I go, what if I put them inside the picture frame where I have some of my favorite pictures of these very same people? Now, I'm going to use my mom as an example because, you know, that's very top of mind for me right now. So my mom loved to send thank you notes and things like that. She wrote them out in longhand, and I really cherish a lot of the things that she sent me. Again, what do you do with them? So I have a couple pictures of my mom in 5x7 frame. So what I did was I took some of my favorite cards from her, and I put the card and the backing of the picture frame. So in other words, as you look at the picture frame from front to back, you know, it has the picture, of course. And then instead of a piece of cardboard or something like that, I put one or two of my favorite notes or cards from her. And then you put the, you know, the finishing back on the picture frame. And now you have everything all together. So you have one of your favorite pictures of a loved one. You have a couple mementos from them, a couple handwritten things, whatever they happen to be. And you have it all in one package that's all together. And this just works out so well because especially if you do 5x7 prints, then the card and the print and everything just fit so nicely in the frame. And then there's kind of, you know, then there's also kind of a, you know, not a surprise, but you know what I mean, a little extra thing there. And on any of these pictures that I have, you know, and I have them, you know, up around the studio and so forth, at any time, if I'm looking at the picture and I'm, you know, thinking, gosh, you know, having maybe some nostalgic feelings, not only can I enjoy the picture, it takes 1 second to take off the back to the picture frame. And then there I have one or two notes, one of my favorite notes from that very person that I'm looking at in the picture. I mean, this is just really a nice little thing. So if you want to kind of consolidate or enhance, however you want to put it, your handwritten notes and cards and things from people that you care about, along with some of your favorite pictures of them, I just think this is a wonderful thing. It's just something I stumbled across and I thought you might enjoy hearing about it. All right, let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club news. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support us month in and month out. They support the podcast and the community as a whole. And they also provide a lot of guidance to help us go in the right direction, which is very important. We don't want to waste our time. Time is valuable. And they help us spend the time that we have together, whether it's online, whether it's in person at a workshop, whether it's things I talk about on the podcast, they help us go the right direction. If you want to learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member, and I hope you do in 2022, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Take a look around and join us. It's a great group of artists, and I think you'll be pleased to be among them. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Of course, I was just talking about prints. I made some new 5x7s, you know, images that I stumbled across that I just loved. And I go, I'm going to make a print of this. And I was thinking, you know, I talk about making sure that you have printing paper on hand and ink on hand. But another thing that I've discovered that's really nice to have on hand are some frames. You know, like, for instance, when you go to buy a new 5x7 frame, buy 3 or 4 of them and stash the other ones, the ones that you don't use, because I've discovered not only am I glad that I can make the print right away using Red River paper, but I'm also very happy that I can frame it right away. And then, like I was talking about in the previous spot, then being able to put a greeting card or a note from that person in that frame as well, it just is something that I want to do in the moment, and having all that stuff on hand really just makes it very satisfying. Now, if you want to stock up on some paper and have that stuff ready to go, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. You can get all of your printing paper, 5x7, 4x6, 8.5x11, 13x19, whatever you use, you can get it there at Red River Paper. Have it on hand. You can get your ink and then stock up on a few frames. And when that inspiration strikes, you can do the whole project in one sitting. And it feels wonderful. I can tell you, it feels wonderful. Red River Paper also has a rocking Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'm very excited about the new camera. Can't wait to get my hands on it. Working on some more good stuff for next week. Until then, stay safe, be creative. Come back next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.